We talk all the time about the bad things that COVID did, but this is one of the good things, and for that we're all thankful. It's at least a good excuse not to do your snow shoveling yet that you had to hop on Zoom church. So at least we could give you that, but that's all we can do. I hope you all stay warm and stay inside and try to stay cozy. If you do need something though, or help with anything during the storm, or if you lose power, reach out to us, let the church know, and we can try our best to help out how we can. But don't suffer in blankets by yourself. We can do this together, which is kind of the point of the sermon today, actually. Over the last few weeks, we've been listening to John's gospel telling us that God's light has entered the world, not as an idea or a force, but in the very personhood of Jesus. And that light does not overwhelm or overpower. Instead, it chooses to come close, it's encountered, and it's followed. Today's gospel shows us what happens next. If you want to go ahead and scroll or flip over in a Bible to Matthew 5, Matthew places Jesus far away from the centers of power and religion, not in Jerusalem, not in the temple, but in Galilee by the sea, where I think we'd all rather be today than here, along a shoreline shaped by ordinary work and ordinary routines, where nets are being mended and boats are being tended, families are earning their living, and life is busy and full. And this matters because it tells us something important about how God's reign begins. It doesn't wait for an ideal circumstance. It does not require people to step out of their ordinary life. Light dawns right where the people already are. And it's there into that ordinary world on an ordinary day that Jesus begins to speak. Hear now the word of the Lord from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in the darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. It's easy to romanticize the story. Four men hear a call and immediately follow. It sounds clean and simple, inspiring, but Matthew does not let us forget what is being left behind. Nets are dropped, boats are abandoned, a father is left standing on the shore. These are not empty lives being filled, these are full lives being interrupted. These men are not waiting for a purpose. They already have one. They're working. They belong somewhere. They have people. They have responsibilities. And Jesus does not ease them into anything. There's no preparation period. There's no gradual transition. The word Matthew keeps using is immediately. And I think that immediacy is unsettling. It suggests that following Jesus rearranges life long before it explains itself. It disrupts the patterns that we've already been working in. It introduces loss, but also promise. And if we're honest, that makes us uncomfortable. We want calling to feel reasonable. We want clarity before commitment. We want to know what is required before we respond. But this story refuses that order. These young men don't have time to review the fine print. They don't have time to look over the contracts and consult their lawyers. They don't have time to make arrangements. They just go. And this is where our idea of discipleship begins to unravel some. Discipleship begins not once everything is resolved. It starts right here in an abandoning of things. These fishermen follow without knowing where they're going to go or how their lives are going to unfold. They move not because they're prepared for it, but because there's something in how he calls them that's compelling enough to trust him to drop everything and just go somewhere. And what's striking in this passage is not just who Jesus calls, but how he calls. Jesus does not recruit the most religious people. He does not gather the most educated. He does not wait for people to prove themselves. He sees them, he speaks, he invites them into a future that they cannot imagine on their own, and they go. He just says, "Follow me," not improve yourself, not get ready, not understand first, just follow. And I want you to notice this. None of them are called in isolation. They're not called alone. You have brothers that are called together. You have discipleship that begins as something shared. From the very beginning, following Jesus was never an individual spiritual project. It's always been communal. It's relational. It's learned side by side. And it's in this moment at this seaside that God's reign starts to take shape. Not by assembling polished individuals, but by drawing ordinary people into shared movement. Not by isolating disciples, but by forming a community along the way. And if this is how Jesus gathers people, then discipleship is not something that we can complete before we begin it. It's something that we learn along the way while we move forward and move forward together. Faith in this story is not about having everything sorted out. It's about responding to the call in the middle of life as it already is. It's about trusting that clarity will come not before following, but through it. And that changes how we understand our life together as a church. We're not a collection of finished believers. We are a community of people being formed along the way. Work in progress. So it's always permanent construction. Faith is practiced together. Discernment happens together. Growth is shaped by a shared obedience, but also shared failure and also shared grace. This life of faith is not primarily about what we accomplish. It's about how Christ is present among us. And when a church lives this way, it becomes a place where ordinary people can respond honestly to the call, a place where movement matters more than mastery, a place where God's reign is made visible not through perfection, but through people willing to walk together towards whatever it is that God's doing, whether we understand it or not. Those first disciples did not follow him alone. They did not sustain their journey on their own strength. Again and again, Jesus gathers them. He teaches them. He feeds them. He takes rest with them. Long before sending them into the world, he drew them together. And that same pattern has always been there. It's always continued that way. I know it's different, but we're going to join around a table virtually. So, if you need your communion supplies and don't have them yet, this is a good time to mute your camera and run off screen and go grab it. At this virtual table, we are trying to pause our movement long enough to receive what we cannot provide for ourselves. It's at this table that Christ gathers us, not because we're ready, but because we're hungry for something. Not because we understand, but because we're willing. Where bread is broken and a cup is shared, the same Christ who called fishermen by the sea meets us in this meal, nourishing us for the life that we are living and learning to live together. We don't come alone. I know today you kind of do. You do kind of come alone today, but not really. We can at least do this over the computers. We come as a people who are in process of being formed. And we're drawn together with one another by a grace that we don't always understand, but we always appreciate, where we are sustained together by mercy, and where we are sent back into the world, not as isolated followers, but as a community shaped by the very presence of Christ. The table is set, and if not, you still have time to go get it. Christ is here, and the call still sounds for us to follow. And when we do follow, know this. Even on a cold day like this, we don't follow in isolation. We are called together and we follow together. And that brings us strength and comfort and joy.